Hey y'all, it's Connor, and I'm stoked because Emma Pittman from the Tony Award-winning Best Musical, The Outsiders, is here. You're gonna fall in love with her as we did. And if you love it, we recommend you go and you share it with your friends, repost it, follow us on socials, follow us on your favorite podcast app, rate us on Spotify, Apple Pods, wherever suits your fancy, wherever you listen. And if you really love us, or even if you kind of just love us a little but feel like doing some charity, go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month, you become a member of Drama Plus. This is our bonus content platform where we bring you extra episodes where Dylan and I chit chat about, theater. We talk about pop culture. We talk about love. We talk about life. We have running themes. So dive in because you have years of bonus Patreon episodes where you really get to know us, your hosts of Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. It's $5 a month, and that support goes a long way. Oh, I forgot to say something else. You also get added to our close friends on Instagram, and the drama close friends does not mess around. So what are you waiting for? Patreon.com/dramapodcast. Rate us 5 stars, obviously everywhere else. Follow us, share it, and enjoy this episode with Emma Pittman, who, if you're not already obsessed with, get ready. Because she's a gag, honey. Say no more. To quote a theme song I've heard before and that you're about to hear in 5 seconds. All right. I hate myself for that, but I'm laughing. All right. On to the show.
Press play. Curtain of an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. I don't know why I have the giggles today, but welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, I don't know why. As soon as we started saying drama, I got like giggly or something.
Because you realize how stupid it is that we say that in unison at the beginning and end of every episode?
Do you always look at the guests to see what their reaction will be when we do it?
I do. I do. Sometimes they chuckle lightly. Sometimes they like smile. Sometimes they don't react at all. I'll never forget when we used to record in person, one of our very first guests was so unfazed. They were like just staring at their phone. And I was
No,
like,
it was
hey,
more
we're being cute
unamused.
and fun. Aren't you amused? Anyways, all that's cut. Listen, Connor, there is something so major going on in the culture that I need to talk to you about. And I know you're not watching it, but this is my plea to get you into Love Island USA.
I
And I
know.
don't, I mean, everyone's talking about it. Listen,
I know everyone is.
I've said on this very podcast that Love Island UK is the superior series. Okay. And after our trip to London in 2023, I did watch 6 seasons, or as they say over there, series of it. However,
Oh
this
my
summer,
God.
I have indulged in the American version, partly because Ariana Madix is now hosting, but also I have seen this play out on Twitter and the cast is wild. And I had to watch it. And Connor, I think it's one of the most iconic seasons of reality television in history.
Are you serious?
I'm gonna put it, go out there and say it.
Oh my God. I feel like I know the players. Like, there's a Rob, there's a
There's a Rob.
Taylor,
Her
there's an
name is indeed
Aaron.
Kaler.
Is there a Mackenzie?
There's not, but there could
Okay.
be.
Oh, I was
Yeah,
on a
there.
roll. I was on a
I
roll.
know. Well, Aaron from The Traitors, and we did talk about this on a different podcast, but
Yeah.
Aaron, who won the first season of The Traitors in the UK, is on this.
And you
And
love him.
I used to.
Oh, no. Not the villa ruining everything.
I know. Listen, a lot changes in the villa, but I just need to say there is a superstar on the series. Her name is Leah, and you need to watch it for her. She brings it every single week.
Okay. Is she American or is she like one of
She
the people they
is.
brought over from one of the other
There's a
shows?
yeah, there's one Australian girl, and then there's an Australian guy for a minute. And then there's obviously Aaron, who's British. So I think that they realized that the international seasons like shows have more spice. So they thought, oh, maybe if we bring in people from those countries, they'll bring it to the US one.
And they do.
I'm obsessed. Yes, they do. They really do.
I have one lingering question before we invite our guest in, but
Yes.
how is Ariana as a host?
She's good. She's a professional at this point.
Oh,
You know,
wow.
she's
Wow.
a Broadway star. She
Right?
is a business owner.
She, yeah, has a sandwich shop.
She's a Dancing with the Stars finalist.
Yes, an influencer for
She's done it
SponCon.
all. There are moments where she gives like real Ariana. Like if you've watched Vanderpump, you're like, oh, that's that girl I've been watching on television for 10 years,
Yeah.
which we have. Anyways.
Does she have any moments like that one moment? The only moment I know from other Love Island USA seasons, which was when there was this moment where Sarah Hyland, like one of the guys was rude to her when she was hosting, and she just goes, boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys. Yep, I'll never forget that. She does not have a moment like that. She's just very good at keeping the train on the tracks
Okay.
throughout the entire thing. It's great.
I love that. Okay, Dylan.
Anyways, we're speaking about icons. We're
Well,
speaking about,
yes.
in fact, Roxy Hearts, if we're speaking of Ariana Maddox.
Oh, yes, we are. Oh my God. Dylan, I'm stoked because as I told our guest before we started recording, when we saw The Outsiders on Broadway, we turned to one another at intermission and we said, I'm gagged for Cherry. Gagged for
Blown away.
Cherry. I mean, from the moment she comes on the screen being, the stage, by the way,
Of course.
you can't take your eyes off her. And it's like a
I
string of
know.
hits. There's the drive-in song. There's the scene at the drive-in. There's the one-on-one scene between her character and Ponyboy. I mean, it's compelling as hell, and the hits keep coming.
She is so great. And I've heard about her for years. I feel like everybody who's like a young theater person knows and loves this girl. And now she's part of the drama community.
Period.
So let's
And
bring her in.
y'all, our guest today is that girl. You can currently see her shine as Cherry Valance in the Tony Award-winning best musical, The Outsiders, on Broadway. She captivated the nation when she slayed her way through the Broadway.com series, The Search for Roxy, where she was selected by Ann Reinking and Bebe Neuwirth to play the legendary role in Chicago on Broadway. After playing Roxy and even Annie in the revival, our fabulous guest was part of the original Broadway cast of Back to the Future. A Wagner College graduate, this triple threat appeared regionally as Janet in The Drowsy Chaperone, Lola in Damn Yankees, and has choreographed multiple productions, including On the 20th Century, Into the Woods, and The Cradle Will Rock. This star is also a teaching artist, director, and choreographer. You can also tune in to her Broadway.com vlog series, Call Me Cherry, which has continued on her own YouTube channel, all about her fabulous life, backstage stories, and more. You're gagged. We're still gagged. Please welcome to drama, Emma
Emma Pittman.
Pittman. Oh, wow. I'm going to need that recorded. And I just need it when I play, like, come into a room. I'm just going to play it and be like, I'll wait. That was everything. Slayed my way. I'll never forget. I shan't ever forget it. Please. Y'all, it's an honor to be here today. I am gagged for you too. I'm gagged for this podcast. I'm ready to. Give the drama.
Listen, we are obviously obsessed with you. I'm having so much fun with you even before we hit record. But I do want to check in. Are you well, Emma?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking, Dylan. I appreciate it.
Of course. You've had a busy summer. The Outsiders opened. Y'all won many Tonys. It's been a crazy time.
It really has been. I mean, honestly, it wasn't until I thought after the Tonys we'd be like relaxed and like into a normal life schedule. Not quite, because obviously with the blessing of the Tonys, everything that happened, like there have been so many press interviews. That's one of the reasons why I'm here today. Like I'm so grateful and excited to continue to talk about this show because it's been a very, very fun, exhausting, amazing, crazy, beautiful, tiring experience. And it seems to never end, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah,
I'm so happy for you.
I know, and you deserve it in particular. But I mean, Connor and I told Jason this like a month or so ago when he was on the show. But
Yeah.
I hope no one from any other new musicals this season is listening. But it was our favorite. Going, after
Oh,
we got to see it all, and this one
I'm so
just stood
glad.
out. Yeah, this. I mean, so many beautiful new shows, but there's something about The Outsiders.
It's something about it. I feel like it's one of those perfect storms where like everybody was so working together, like to watch from the stage or from the rehearsal space to like look at the creative team like morph into one was unlike anything. That's not always how it is. Sometimes some people have bigger voices or bigger say in certain moments, and it was just always like what is right for the show. And that continued when we went into tech, and like that's why the lighting design and the projection design and the sound design and the set design, everything is just like chef's kiss because everyone was like, what's gonna be right? Like there was just a huddle of everybody all together, like, okay, what do we want to do to make this work? It's
That's so
amazing.
nice. Okay,
Yeah.
so take me to Tony night.
Oh,
The whole night, were you kind of like, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. Or like, what was going through your mind?
here's the real tea. I was in this room, this exact room. I'm here at the Jacobs Theater in my dressing room, and my friend Brendan, who you both know, was here getting me into my Tony's look. We did this really fierce, like, wet look of the, anyway, you'll see the picture. And he and I were in here. It was after Danya had won Best Director. I like looked at him and I was like, I have to be honest, I'm really scared. And he was like, okay. And I was like, I've never been a part of something where I feel like I was a part of the creation of it. Like, the show had been in creation for like 11 years, which is crazy to think about, that it's had such a long journey. And I'm grateful to be a little tiny piece of it, but like, a lot of me is in this girl. A lot of me is in this storytelling. And I was like, ew, that's kind of fierce that I'm like nervous about this thing I care about because I care about it. Like, that was like a big moment of like, oh my God, like, if we, whatever happens, like, I'm gonna feel about this, you know? And I was like, oh, this feels real now. It's actually happening. And so when we all went, the rest of us who were here at the theater who had finished performing went downstairs in our like cross under, that we had a TV there, we had pizzas and sodas, and we were watching, and the silence after our alphabas were speaking.
Yes.
I mean, you couldn't, it wasn't even like you could hear a pin drop. I mean, you could hear what's the quietest. So one time I heard someone say you could hear a fly fart. Like, honestly, it was so, I know, I kind of amazing.
It was giving
I
a
was like,
quiet
you
place day one.
correct. Day one, like, silence, honey. And I remember everyone's feelings, like just no breath, no movement, nothing. I felt like my blood was still in my skin. Like, everyone was so still. And then to feel the release of when they said our names was, I think I was shocked more than anything. I think the rest of the night we were all kind of like, what do you mean? Like, as much as we wanted to celebrate it, I think that it was also kind of like, just shocking more than anything. We go to the party, there's lots of co-producers there. Everybody who is sort of a part of this, even just a little bit, was there. So it was beautifully crammed in like a bunch of sardines at Rosa Mexicana, you know, like having our margaritas and trying to eat tacos. And I'm just like, what? What? Like, what? What?
Crazy.
So that's basically how I felt that night. That night was a big what night.
I can only imagine. I can still feel the excitement coming out of you, that it still probably feels surreal. So wait, so that you go, like, I've heard stories, they like bus you to the venue, which in this case was Lincoln Center, and then they bus you back to the theater.
Yes, and I think one of the coolest parts
Okay.
that I feel like less people know about is in the morning they do a dress rehearsal, and it's the same exact thing. It's basically for them to have it filmed just in case something's happened at the time. They do
Oh.
have an extra one, but that is like, that was a way to kind of get those like nervous feelings and like shakes out for the first time. And also they have seat fillers of like the kids from the Jimmys were there. My best friend Colton was there volunteering with the Jimmys. Brendan was there because it was just kind of like, it felt like a community experience. Not that the Tonys isn't, but like,
Right.
especially because it was at Lincoln Center, it was a lot less seats in the house for people to come. A lot of even the people who were nominated for Tonys couldn't bring plus ones. So to have
Yeah.
that first round of like people who love you, who you know, who are out there just like rooting for you to be on the stage was like such a cool experience. But yeah, they bust us there, bust us back, and then we had like the day to kind of fart around before we had to do it all again in the night.
Oh, so fun.
It was so
I
fun.
love it.
Yeah.
So going back a little bit, you mentioned that there's parts of you in Cherry. I'm kind of curious, like, when you came on board in the process and what that all has been like.
Yeah, so Joshua Boone and I came onto the process at the same time. It was in the fall of
Okay.
last year. I was doing Back to the Future and I got an appointment for a workshop for The Outsiders, and it was for Cherry. And I was like, yes, like, oh my God, yes, a million times yes, because I grew up in Mississippi, read the book when I was little, and then in high school we did a play version of The Outsiders, and I remember wanting to be Cherry so bad, but I was in the 10th grade and the girl who played Cherry was in the 12th grade, so I got it. But I got to play Marcia, and I got to like get to know Cherry as her best friend, and I got to love her and like observe her and the way that she moved in the world. And Marcia is such a fun character too, because she kind of lives in the like in the in between, but then ends up being more complicit in the end, or at least in our version, which is like such an interesting way to experience the like almost of what Cherry gets to experience, which is like the full like, yeah, no, I'm not doing this anymore. But anyway, so I did the play version, and so I was just really excited to be like, holy, you know, holy cow, I'm excited to see what they're going to do with this play, because it's such a good story. And I think it is dying to be a musical, honestly. Like, so I auditioned, and I remember the audition process for with Danya is unlike anything I've ever experienced. I don't know if Jason talked about it at all, but basically you walk in, there's a chair in the middle of the room. She's like, have a seat. Tell me, where are you from? What do you love? What like inspires you and excites you? And I see you do choreography. Do you love to do that? That's cool. What's your experience with The Outsiders? And like, what does this mean to you? And like, what is this story? Like, we just got to know each other, which was incredible. And it obviously like lowered the stress levels in the room of being like, hi, my name is Emma. I'm going to sing this song, you know?
What'd you sing though?
I think that I sang from the show. I think they sent me, I could talk to you all night. And they sent me, I think, Hopeless War. I definitely remember singing Christmas and the Solstice first.
Okay.
But yeah, it was so cool to like get to know her and for her to get to know me, because I was like, I can't explain this enough. Like, I feel for Cherry. Like, I have lived a very similar life experience to Cherry. And all I want to do is like honor that with my experience. And if it's not right, word, but like, I just need you to know that like, I think I got what you're looking for. But she was amazing. And she's such an excellent, patient, and truth-seeking director. It was cool to work with her. And like, as much as I tried to show certain things, she was kind of like, what if you just like, and I was like, right. For those of you listening, I just shrugged. Sorry, I'm quite a theatrical person. But yeah, a lot of her direction was kind of like allowing it to be for real, because she's a play director. So like, there is no music, there is no dance to like, heighten the moment. It's the moment is words. And so for her to be seeking that through the song, it was cool to like strip away kind of everything that we learn in musical theater about like, and now I'm at the point where I'm gonna start singing, and like it's gonna heighten it, like to allow it to be really real and just rooted in the text and in the beautiful songwriting of Jamestown Revival. It was such a challenge for sure, but she was super patient with me, which is amazing.
Oh, that's so cool to hear. Yeah. How similar was that workshop to The Outsiders that we see on Broadway now?
Very different.
Yeah.
One of my like favorite things to bring up is like there were two workshops we did. The first one was a movement workshop, which was crazy because I wasn't a part of the play. So I was like, who are you? And what just happened? And like, and they're like, we're just dancing. And I'm like, where are we? Like, I felt like I was playing catch up, like a psychopath in that room. but the cool thing was it was a great lesson of like, just be like, obviously there's something about me and this character that they're trusting that I can do. So I'm just going to trust whatever my natural instinct is and not try to like, I think a lot of the training that I have personally was like, you tell me what you want and I'll make it happen because I've got the tools, you know? But the thing is that the cool thing was that no one knew what they wanted in this moment. Like, we were testing it out. So it was like, well, I guess we're just going to try this. So that was a really awesome challenge for me personally. But yeah, there was a whole dance sequence at the drive-in where Dally and Cherry danced together.
Oh, wow.
Like hot, sexy, like, oh,
because in the book, in the original book, there's more of a romance connection between the two.
Apparently,
you know?
I wasn't a part of this, but apparently there was a whole like Cherry Dally love story. Like, I heard of a version where Cherry was at Buck Merrill's with Dallas when they go after the stabbing of Bob. And I was
oh my
like,
gosh,
what? Crazy.
Wow, that changes the dynamic a lot for sure.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And that was the cool thing about the workshop was they were like, we don't know what will stand until we try it and go, no, I don't think so.
So Adam Rapp was there in the room and everything. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Everybody was there. The Cooperman brothers were there. Our choreographer, Danya, was there. Justin Levine was there. sometimes even the music, like the other music writers, the Jamestown Revival were there, which was so cool. And Danya, of course. It was a cool, everybody. Again, they were just kind of like one cloud of the same mind. It was amazing.
And that was the movement workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the next one.
And then the next one we did was a just singing and like reading one. That then we did like a stand and read at Playwrights Horizons. Is that right? That seems right. Signature. Okay. One of those two.
Okay, sure. They're both down there.
They're right next door. So it's close.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that Cherry did that stuck out to you as like, oh my God, I wish that was still in the show? Or you get why it's not, but you know what I mean?
Something that changed a lot in previews was Hopeless War, actually. I remember initially Hopeless War was like a full song. Like full, like 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And it was a duet. It was like Ponyboy and Cherry sang it together. It was like, he sang a little bit, she sang a little bit, they sang together, and then she sang by herself. Like full 2 minutes and 30 seconds song. And there was a moment in previews, and I remember feeling like, I don't know what it is. I remember feeling, not that it was too long, but like, I feel like I achieved my goal early in the song. And I was like, now I just kind of feel like, and I'm singing, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But the thing was that I was feeling it and Justin Levine was feeling it too. That was the cool thing. I didn't want to push because I was like, it could also be that I'm in previews. I've never really done a preview process where things are still changing. And I was like, there's a world where it just takes me a little bit more time to get into the material and figure out where the new objectives are and the new motives and like, maybe, you know, I was like willing to continue to, again, workshop that moment. And then Justin Levine came up to me one day, was like, I want to let you know, we're cutting some of Hopeless War. It has nothing to do with you, but I think it's a Soda's letter. And I was like, I completely agree. I hope you don't think that I was feeling that. And I didn't want it to seem like I couldn't do it, but I wanted to let you know that like, yes, I feel like it's Soda's letter. You know, it's like 90 seconds. He comes in, he says, I miss you. We love you. Please come home. Bye.
Yeah.
And that's it. He doesn't sing for 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you know, and it's the same with Cherry. And so then that's how it got cut down. There are times that there are some lyrics in that song and like some moments between the two of them that I do miss, but I think I really do think it's still there. It's just a little less. Yeah.
Yeah. We wouldn't know the difference. I still think it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, granted, I would love a longer version of the song just because I want to hear both of you sing more, but
well,
it is what it is. And plus, Ponyboy has so much to sing. We got to give that boy a break. So
he deserves a moment of.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally.
I'm curious about, you mentioned that this is like the first time you really went through like a preview process where things were in flux. And I know that you did Back to the Future in the same season. Is that because it was a transfer and was pretty much set?
Yes, basically it was almost exactly a direct transfer. I will say that I do know that they workshopped the material without the cast. Like I know Gabby Stapula, the dance captain, and the associate choreographer, Beth, they worked with Chris Bailey and they like leveled up the choreo in some areas and they like added some extra, like I think our Gotta Start Somewhere ends in a different way than the one in the West End does. So they did workshop some of that material, but it wasn't really on us. Like I can remember maybe 3-8 counts of choreography that we tried two different ways. And then that was kind of it when it came to like trying new material. It was really just come in, learn it. That's it. Next number, which was kind of weird. Yeah. So our preview process was really just like an elongated tech because that show is crazy technically. I mean, I don't, you said you saw everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We did.
It's incredible. It's unbelievable. And that was the thing that needed the most rehearsal, really, because it's so much going on at the same time that has to be exactly right so that it has the magic that it does every night now.
Oh, yeah. We had to go see Casey Likes. We love that boy.
I do. Please.
Mm-hmm. Love him. Yeah. The car is a gag at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's really a gag. Yeah.
And I think it gags you twice. It does. Personally.
It does. So nice to get it twice.
Yes. Because it goes up and you're like, oh, fierce. And then it spins and you're like, oh, I'm gagged. Okay. Right. And then it turns around and you're like,
right.
Wait a minute. Hold on now. And that's, I think it gets you twice.
Tactical.
Did it ever fail when you were in the show?
Yes, not a lot though. And I think that the time that it whenever it like fails, it just doesn't do anything. Oh, so okay. It's never like, never like they're upside down and it's like, oh, can you bring me the curtain?
Yeah.
So interesting. How long were you in Back to the Future before leaving?
My last performance was January 21st, and I believe our first preview for Back to the Future was August 30th.
Okay.
So 6 months, I think, a little over.
That's our birthday, August 30th.
Very nice birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you. August Virgo.
Virgo. Thank you. Thank you. You saw where I was going. October 23rd. I'm on the cusp.
Okay. Libra?
Oh.
But
okay.
I'm a Libra.
Okay. So close to Halloween.
Yeah. I love it. It's cute.
Are you a Halloween gal?
Not really.
You know, a lot of actors say they're not. It's really funny.
It's so weird. You know, I think it's like, I think it's because we do it already every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that I don't, it always sneaks up on me. I think that's what it is. I think my birthday, because my birthday's so close, I'm like focused on that, whatever that's going to be this year. And then I'm like, oh, and Halloween's next week. Yeah. What do I want to be? And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to spend, like, I don't want to stress about making like a really fierce costume. So I'm the queen of like buying something that is like a t-shirt. And I'm like, get it. I'm a banana. Anyway, let's go.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh,
wait, what does Karen go as in Mean Girls?
Oh, yeah.
She's is it like, a mouse?
A sexy...
Sexy rat?
It's a rat. It's a rodent for sure.
Some sort of rodent. What about y'all? Are you a Halloween people?
Connor is, yeah.
I get down for Halloween. I think I really get so into it. I don't know why, but I really, really, really love it. I mean, I'm already thinking about what I might want to do this year.
Tell me your most iconic Halloween look, please.
Ooh, most iconic. Well, we used to do twin costumes.
It's like all of college. We did fun.
Please.
My favorite one that we did was the twins from The Shining. We did like a little gender bent version of that. It was scary.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Cute.
I know, but I did the bear. I was the titular bear in The Bear, aka Jeremy Allen White, after season one. But last year, what did I do? Oh, did you see Bottoms, the movie where they like come up with it? I was the Nicholas Galitzine role, like a football player, but I got like a custom jersey made and
he got very into
it. I really get into it.
Thank you, budget.
I mean, listen, I try to return all the items even when they're custom, and then I fight with the people at the various like sites that I purchased them from, and they're like, no, like it's literally was made. You can't return this. And I'm like, it's a ridiculous customer service. I can't believe this.
Virgo.
I'm a great customer.
You know? Total Virgo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This past year, my fiance and I did Grimace and the Hamburglar, and I was Grimace.
Wait, that's really cute.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
I love that.
Dylan just casually dropped the word fiance, and I've known this for months, and I'm still in shock.
I know. I'm like,
Emma, are you dating?
I am. Where's my picture of my
you
cute
a lover?
Boyfriend? I do. Here he is.
Oh,
so cute. This is us at a wedding.
Oh my God. Wait, what's...
He's a cutie.
Is he a civilian or is he an actor?
So he's like somewhere in the middle, which is kind of fierce. He's a musician. He plays the guitar and he sings. And he sings very, very well, which is annoying because he's like, I just wish I could just, you know, just play guitar. And I'm like...
Do you two ever get to like perform together or do you just like...
It's giving no. It's giving absolutely not. Mostly because he is like a gig musician. So he's doing different gigs every single night and he does a lot of things on the fly. And like for me, I'm a rehearsal girl. Okay, I need the rehearsal. I need the sheet music. I need to make sure that it's set and I need to feel free in the fact that I rehearsed it for a week.
Yes, I feel that. How'd you guys meet?
He was playing at Haswell Green, if you've ever been.
Oh, yeah.
Before they closed the top.
It's now a different venue up there.
Stupid.
That's what I think, personally. It was back when it was like a really fierce live music venue and he was playing. It was two guitar players, a bassist, maybe a singer, or maybe they were both singing, I don't remember, and a drummer. And I thought he was so cute and so talented. And I was like, I want to kiss you. So I bought a round of tequila shots for the whole band because I know what it takes. I understand the work. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Budget.
And I'm respectable. Right. You know what? Investment.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
That's I love that.
And so I gave him the round of shots and I was like, you're really good. It's for you guys. And I did that three times. So at the end of the night, you know, they're packing up and I'm like, I'm wearing a backless shirt. So I'm like, and he comes up to me and he's like, hey, Emma, thank you so much for coming to our gig. And he puts his hand on my shoulder and then he leaves.
Oh, stop.
I was like, what was that? So I followed him on Instagram. I was like, absolutely not. I want to kiss you. So then I go on his Instagram and he has these videos that he's been doing for years of him cooking in his kitchen. And they're like hard cut, funny TikTok videos, and he's Colombian, and he puts on a Colombian accent, and it's called Nick's Kitchen, and it's hilarious. And I was watching the videos like, oh no, he doesn't know this yet, but we're gonna fall in love. Like, I was like, we're both so kooky crazy. We both love what we do. And well, yes. So then we like talked for 2 months before we ever met, because I had to go do a contract doing Janet. And then we went on a date, and 2 days later we were exclusive.
Oh my God. You knew.
I was like, I don't want to kiss anybody else. Yeah. Oh,
so this was a while ago then.
Yeah, it was, it'll be 2 years in September.
Oh my gosh, congrats. Who That's said, so cute.
Who said I love you first?
I waited you for him to say it.
Yeah. Good girl.
Like a true Southern gal.
That's right. It's all about courtesy, you know, and chivalry.
But when did you know? When you're watching the videos of him cooking?
That's a great question. I feel like it was on the date, because I feel like we covered a lot of groundwork through texting for 2 months. Like, I was like, I just want to let you know these are my absolute yes and absolute no's. I'm staying in the city forever. And if a job comes up, I'm going to do that. And it's not going to be about you, because it's not about you. It's about my career. And he was like, no, for sure. That's the same for me. And I was like, okay, work. Yeah. and we covered a lot of ground in those 2 months. And so then when we actually like went on our date and we were just hitting it off, and it was like kind of cute, kind of flirty and kind of funny, I was like,
I love you have that foundation. Yeah. That's really yeah. great.
Yeah. It's been great.
Aw. Well, I did mention you're a Southern girl, and I kind of want to go back, and you obviously said you're from Mississippi. I do want to kind of go back and get a little bit of your backstory. We call it the Ring of Keys moment, that moment where you realized this life in the arts was for you. Do you feel like you had a moment, a performance, a video, a movie, a song, anything that was like the light switch for you turned on?
I think I have two moments, and they're kind of like, they're like one led to the other, if that makes sense. I grew up dancing ever since I was two, and I was a part of a competition studio, and now I don't mean Dance Moms, so just go ahead and throw that out. I mean the people that they would compete against, and they got the thank you for participating award. Like, that was me. I was the ribbon girl. But we did have the chance to learn a lot of different styles. So that's the reason why I say competition, because I did like jazz and tap and ballet and all of the fun things and hip hop. Not a lot of ballet, but mostly everything else. I loved dancing, and I always felt very like comfortable doing it. But I knew that it wasn't just dance that I loved. It was kind of something like in dance and beyond dance that I love, but I couldn't figure it out. And so when I moved to a new school in high school, they had a theater program, and my mom and dad had like brought home the Rent CD, the Wicked CD, and the Hairspray CD when they saw a bunch of shows when I was younger.
Those three.
The Holy Trinity.
For us as well. Yeah.
For us too.
Again, the Holy Trinity for me.
Yes.
And I love to hear that it is for you too, because something about those three are literally like the yin and yang of each other. And also they are the foundation of musical theater in my brain. Like, well, yeah.
Well, yes.
And so I remember being like, I love like singing along to those and like acting out all the parts, but skipping something bad, you know. And when I got to the theater, I was like, you know what? I'll audition. Like, I feel like this could be fun. Like, there's a world where this would be a blast for me. And it was The Wizard of Oz. The choreographer was a senior. She was playing, almost said Elzebub. She was playing the Wicked Witch. And she was talking about the choreography. And it was for the Jitterbug. And the Jitterbug's, like, job in the show is to, like, make the friends so tired and they fall asleep and they don't make it all the way to Oz. And so she was like, how can you make that step make them sleepy? Like, how can you, like, allow your spell to be cast with those steps? And I was like, what? Oh my God, you're right. What if it was like this? And I was just like, my like collaboration was like on fire. I was so excited. I was feeling so creative. And like, I had this ownership of the story. And then that's when I was like, oh, that's what I loved about dance was storytelling. It was the numbers that had like a beginning, a middle, and an end, and a surprise. And everyone was like, that I was like, yeah, I ate that up. I loved it. So that's my first one. That was when I was like, oh, this thing is actually the thing that I like, not just dancing, but storytelling. So then I was like, okay, work. Well, I need to catch up because everybody else has been doing that. Okay, let me get life together. So I did like all the theater at my high school. I took a couple of voice lessons in high school, and I had a great teacher. And I think it was my 10th grade year, we saw the Wicked Tour. It came through Memphis, which we're about like an hour south from. And I remember sitting in the audience. I knew every word because, again, my mom brought home the CD. And it was so cool to see what I imagined, but better. And feeling like, man, I could low key do that, I think. Like, I know I'm not good enough now, but I'm willing to put in the work to do that because that right there, nothing better.
Have you ever gotten an audition for Wicked?
No, but I have like this crazy, like, I don't want to call it a pipe dream, but like, there's like a low key part of me that wants to be a Glinda one day.
I was gonna say, I see Glinda for you.
You're
I mean,
Glinda.
look
You're
at me.
Glinda.
No,
I
same.
need it. I
Yeah.
need.
Yeah, that would be
Me.
amazing.
That's so fun. I forgot about that sensation of when you listen to a cast album as a kid and you're obsessed with it, and then you get to finally see it, and you're like, oh, I didn't realize, the story that's between the songs or the way it's presented as opposed to the way it was in your head. That's a sensation that,
I'll never forget at Back to the
indescribable.
Future. We had this sweet little girl in the front row. Her name was Casper, and she was probably 9, I think. And she knew every single word. She was singing along with us, and I was sobbing at intermission. Doing, I don't, again, I don't know if you saw the show, ends with a cheerleader number, and I'm like this. Because I was like, I remember being that girl, and now I'm doing this thing, and now she's having the same moment. And like, we brought her backstage, and her dad was like so sweet and like filming, like, this is such a big deal to her. Like, she's been listening for a month, and it was like, it is an unforgettable, exciting, and it's starting to happen here with the soundtrack. Like, when sometimes when I start singing, I Could Talk to You All Night, I hear little like moments.
Wait, is the physical CD
Yes.
out yet for the
I
Outsiders?
believe it's coming out next week. If I'm not mistaken, we're
Okay.
doing a CD signing on Thursday of next week. And
Oh,
so I think from
fun.
then it will
Okay.
be released. I believe we have
Okay.
some here at the theater, but I don't know if they're like selling them elsewhere.
Okay. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Because obviously, this was then your first cast recording because y'all didn't do one for Back to the Future.
Correct. So this is my first one, which is crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
But what was it like to hear it for the first time? Were you with the rest of the cast or?
So we did this really, I was so grateful that they did this. It was amazing. We got to do a listening party for the album before it was released at the Power Station Studios where we recorded it. So not only were we in the place where we did it, but it's also like some of the greatest sound system ever. So we got to really hear how it's going to sound when everybody listens to it. And it broke me. It absolutely broke me because, again, little Emma listening to our queens, Kristen Chenoweth and Adina, just being like, wow, this is everything to me. And it's like not me also having like I can
I know. I mean, I can
what?
imagine the energy was wild, but were people getting up and dancing and stuff like doing choreo? I can imagine it's so in your bones.
Oh my gosh, yeah. 1000%. We were like, it was more like getting up and just like dancing, like celebrating the fact that it was done. Because when we recorded it was like right after our first, I don't remember if it was after opening or after our first preview. Like, we were all so exhausted. And they were like, and by the way, we're doing the cast recording next week. And we were like, oh my God, yay.
I think we saw like the next performance or something. Like we were
It's
there like the
here.
week after. And it was like the first time Victor went on as
Yes.
Paul.
Oh, fierce.
Yes. Those lines that Ponyboy says at the beginning and then that Daryl then says at the end. There is something about it when I hear it on that cast album. I sob like a baby. And I have no connection to the Outsiders book or anything. It was just something new. And so I love that you got like these fans who were very attached to the source material, the movie, or maybe it's new to them, but y'all are building a quite the fan base. It's exciting.
It's honestly like the coolest thing for me, and I think for a lot of us, is to be a part of the legacy, of course, but also to be a part of it in a new way for young people. Like, this story is, if you didn't read it when you were a kid, it's okay. Like, you can read it now, but you will have a little bit of a disconnect because reading it when you're a kid, you're like, fuck yeah, excuse my French, but you're like, this is what I see. This is what I'm living. Like, I see all of this injustice. I see all of this, like, people getting away with things that they shouldn't be getting away with. And no one talks about that. All the adults are trying to make me like do this and that, but really, like, can we be for real? And like, this book is an experience of that. And so to have it in a musical form and having kids who've never read it, who've never seen the movie, who had no idea what it was, to feel seen in this medium, it's so cool.
I love it. Okay, wait. So when we talked to Jason, he was like, yeah, it's kind of frat house vibes, the theater, blah, 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 the boys. Are you staying strong with the gals? Like, who are you all right?
Thank you for asking that. I actually really appreciate it. As you can see in my room, it's giving girly pop in here. And when I knew that I was going to be fortunate enough to have my dressing room, I was like, I have to make it feel, I need like divine feminine. I need girly pop. I need pink. Like Emma Pittman necessarily isn't all girly pop all the time, but I know that I'm surrounded by none of that. So I need to replenish it where I can. But yes, the girly pops in here in this building, we do what we can to replenish our feminine like vibes and just like joy. And we gather together in their dressing room. We have nights out where we go have drinks and catch up. Yeah, it's really nice to have them. And I think that also the boys in this company know. They know.
Yeah.
They know how many there are. They know like what the levels are. And so when we take up space, they do allow us to take it up.
I love to hear that.
I'm glad to hear. I'm sure some of them want a girl out with you too, though. So come on. Right.
More than you'd think, probably. yeah. Okay, wait. So I've heard a lot on different podcasts about your experience of doing The Search for Roxy and, you know, filming it and all of that. But what I haven't heard a ton about is your time actually going into Chicago. And so I'm kind of curious.
That's so true, Dylan.
Yeah, what it was like to finally get to, because there was like an online, people were like,
please, I have screenshots. I have screenshots because I'll never forget it. I will never forget the way people were in the comments. Like, no, this is chic, but where's Emma?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a really funny way to spell Emma Pittman. Like, right. people were for me. And I was so grateful because they didn't owe me anything contractually. Like, I'll be so honest. Like, I didn't sign anything that said, you for sure have these dates. You are for sure guaranteed. Nothing. Nope.
Okay.
No, there was no like real paper trail of commitment.
It would have been Erica Jane was Roxy pre-pandemic, right? From Housewives?
Yes. Everyone was like, okay. So you're going in after Erica? And I was like, I just got here. I have no idea what I'm doing. But thankfully, The Search for Roxy got me my agents, who I'm still with now, and they're great. They advocated for me every day. They were calling every single week. Hey, when can we get Emma in there? Hey, well, hello, remember Emma? Hi, guess what? It's me, Emma's agent. Can you please help? I understood when we came back from COVID, of course, they're not going to put me in there. Okay, I'm a big nobody as of right now. And also, they don't know me, really. I mean, not to mention Anne Rankin passed away.
Yeah.
Like, I was so grateful to have that experience with her, but it was just with her and the casting team. And then they're not in the building. They're not the people putting the shows up. So those people had really not any clue who I was besides the dance captain and the music director, but like the producers didn't know me. Like, you know what I mean? There wasn't anybody that was like, oh yeah, she can handle this. No, nobody knew me. So I was totally understandable and I did not expect to come out of the gate of, you know, when we come back from COVID, we're going to put on this girl. No. But when the names kept coming, I was like, hello, do you guys remember me? But to see the people rally was fierce. And I felt very supported regardless of what was going to happen. I knew people were going to know the search and what it brought me and just me. So I was like, that's enough. That people know is enough. But I ended up getting the call from my agents. And I remember like pooping, crying, screaming, throwing up. Yeah. And they were like, and you start rehearsals in 2 weeks. And I was like, what? And my favorite question that was like, what was it like getting all that time to, you know, do the work? I did not have a script when COVID happened. Please. I didn't get the script until like 3 days before rehearsal. Okay. That's a normal. Sometimes you don't get it till the first day, you know, like, honey, the work wasn't being done until I was in the room. But I remember being as memorized as it could be, as soon as it could be, so I could do the best work because I was only going to be on for 2 weeks. And I was like, I don't want to feel like I'm on the stage, like trying to remember my lines. I want to be alive. I want to live. I want to breathe. I want to listen and I want to play because this is such a cool gift and it might be taken away after this and I may never do it again. So let me do the work. And I learned the whole show in the matter of like a week, I think, which was kind of crazy because I was a psychopath. But then I had like the whole next week to like really work and make it mine and like become more comfortable. And with the recognition of like people rooting for me in the comments. The company got to know me. And I'll never forget one of my first rehearsals. They were like, almost all of my music rehearsals were in the theater, which was so like iconic and like, I don't want to say old Broadway, but like old in the sense that people used to audition in the theater. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was like, I'll never forget being like, dang, like, this is, I'm about to do this right here. That's crazy. And Lana Gordon came by and was like, I just want to introduce myself. Like, I'm going to be your Velma. And I'm really excited for you and your work. So, you know, if you need anything, let me know. And I was like, okay, thank you so much. And yeah, the whole company was very, very welcoming and excited. And like, and like had my back in a way that was not like, yay, we're just happy you're here and that they're doing it. It was like, no, we saw your work. And we see what you're going to do, and you're going to be great. And if you ever get scared, just look us in the eyes, and we've got your back. It was awesome. They really are like a family to me, for sure.
That's so nice.
Would you go back?
Oh my gosh, yes. Please.
Yeah.
I'm starting a loose campaign, so just, you know, spread it as you will. Amber Ardolino and Emma Pittman as Roxy and Velma. So
ooh, that nowadays, hot honey rag, mama.
Delicious. And I would do anything to sit and watch Amber do I Just Can't Do It Alone and Scoot and put little splits.
So that was your Broadway debut?
Like how many? No, right. Like iconic. Yeah. Like who can say that they took a solo principal bow as their first Broadway bow is insane.
Wow.
Oh, well, congrats to you. You earned it. You deserved it. And from what I heard, you were amazing. So I hope that you get to do it again one day because I would love to see it.
So obviously you're going to stay in The Outsiders forever. It's going to run forever. It's like the best show on the entire planet. But after Cherry, what would your dream be if you could choose anything?
Oh man, like a show or?
Whatever you're itching to do. Are you like feeling like, okay, a CW scripted hour long drama, a period piece, a film, an original album?
I'm definitely a theater girly. Through and through. And when it comes to TV and film, there's a world where I see myself like sprinkling little bits of myself into it. But I like the biggest like crazy TV film dream I have would probably be like to be in a Marvel movie. Like that would be so fierce. And like, again, high school Emma would be like, nice.
Yeah.
but I feel like it would just be being in another space where I get to learn and like be inspired and grow as an artist. And like, hopefully like level up in the like character breakdown of the show, if that makes sense. Like who I am as Cherry now is like giving like supporting or like supporting. So then it would be like, okay, now I'm like, what if it was like I was the next one up, like a supporter?
Linda.
Well, then truly you are our friend. Well, let me tell you.
I see it all for you. You are so amazing. This is so much fun.
Thank you. Yeah.
I know. So fun. Before we say goodbye, we do end on a dose of drama.
I do.
This is something on your mind. A rant, a rave, something you've been watching, reading, consuming in any sort of way. And I have something I need to complain about. This is something I said at the beginning. I was feeling upset about this. I've had a zit on my chin for over 2 weeks. In fact, this week I was like, okay, I'm just going to let my face breathe. I didn't shave for 5 days, which is a long time for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I like to keep the baby face. And I have it right
here. I was going to say, Connor, I can't even see it. Oh, it's tiny.
It will not go away. I'm so upset. And I thought it would be gone when I shaved today. I shaved, you know, to be ready for Emma, of course. And I'm pissed. I'm feeling dramatic about it.
That's fair. Are you like a zit cover girly?
Yeah, get one of those.
I should become one.
Get a star.
I? Just at like CVS or something.
Yeah, they do have the like regular pimple patches that are just like look kind of skinny, but get one that's like a star.
Ooh.
That's just about it. Why not?
Yeah.
Add a little razzle dazzle.
I knew Emma would have a solution for you, Connor.
Yeah. I love it. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. And it's not normally I'm like recommending movies, books, TV, stuff like that. I have like a real life thing. It's actually kind of a complaint too. I normally don't ever rant either.
This is so different. I feel like whenever we change it up, the guest feels like they have to like,
I know, but it, yeah. But if you, whatever you follow your dream when it happens, but listen, I feel like I did so much online shopping over like the pandemic or years beyond. I didn't really return to brick and mortar stores to pick out clothes, get clothes. In our trip to Palm Springs that Connor and I took earlier this month, I did go to stores at the mall and shopped and everything. And I did happen to lose the receipt at one of the stores that I went to. You know, you're like screwed if you lose the receipt and want to return something. And so my whole thing is like, just sign up for whatever online program they make you sign up for. That way they have a digital copy, because if not, you might not be able to return a $20 black t-shirt that just, it's too expensive. It's not even good material, H&M. And I can't believe that they wouldn't. And I almost started crying. I almost gave the whole thing, but I was like, you know what? It's $20. Like, I just, it's crazy to me that that stores have these wild policies and they only will like bend to your need if you sign up for their rewards program. And that's the only way they're going to store that you bought something with them. I was like, can't you just swipe my card and it'll show that I had like a purchase history? And they were like, nope, nope. It's unless tough. You're signed up for H&M rewards. And I was like, well, I'm not. And I'm sure as hell not now. So anyways, that's my rant.
You but tell them, Dylan, you tell them.
I know. Anyways.
That is so true. When you lose a receipt in the modern days, you're done.
But if you buy online, of course, it's attached to your email or it's, you know, it's sent to you. So it's just different. But anyways, drama. That's my drama. I know. It was stressing me out. I felt like a Karen, but whatever.
I always kind of do lately.
If we're still using that word. But anyways, Emma, you have a dose of drama for us.
Okay. So my drama is that during Back to the Future, I kept seeing all these ads for Gen V. And I was like, what is that? That sounds very chic. And so I started watching it with my boyfriend. And he was like, well, the thing is that this is kind of not a spinoff, but it's like another like section of a universe for this show called The Boys. And I was like, oh, work. Like, can you just kind of tell me what's going on? And then maybe we can watch The Boys. Okay. So I watched Gen V and I watched The Boys. And I was like, wow, this is fierce. My brain's exploding. Literally.
Literally.
So then I started watching this season because I was like, yes, new season. Let's go. Why is the writing crazy?
It's disturbing.
No, because like me and my boyfriend are watching it and we're like, we would pause it and look at each other and be like, did we have Stockholm syndrome when we watched it the first time? Like, was it like this all over the place and felt like surface level and yet also really deep, but we should have known about it. But I don't know who that is. Like, who is that? So much of the writing in the third season feels so different from the first two. And I like weirdly want to rewatch to make sure I wasn't a crazy person. And I was just like, this is amazing. The superheroes, man. Like, I don't know. But I will say I haven't watched the season finale yet, or whatever the most recent episode on Thursday was.
It was the finale.
Okay. In the last two episodes, I did feel more like, right, okay, now we're back in the world that we were in before. But yes, I kind of felt crazy watching it.
I completely agree.
The episode where Homelander goes back to everyone who like experimented on him, it felt like, okay, this is behavior he's been exhibiting for years. We're not really seeing any changing here. What's this for? I don't know. I'm totally with you. I do have to say, I continue to be extremely attracted to Chase Crawford. That will never die for me.
He's never.
So hot.
Which one is this?
So hot.
He's the deep.
And you know what? Right when you said it, I was like, I think it's probably the deep.
Yeah. Listen, he also did this should have been my actual dose of drama, because I recommend his episode of Call Her Daddy, the podcast, was amazing.
Ooh, hot.
And loved it. But yeah, this season was not it for me. It was also really dark, so dark and disturbing. Yeah. Now, will I keep watching? Of course. Next season's going to be the last season they do.
Ooh, will they do a Gen V?
I hope they do another Gen V, because I really liked that.
Me too. I was very, very, I was more interested in that than The Boys, I think.
Agreed. Yeah, I loved it.
It was so good.
I love that you brought up The Boys and you didn't even know that we watch it. This is great. Okay.
I know. I was so glad. And I'm so glad that you agree, because there are other people in this building who watch it except for one girl who is a swing for our makeup team. And I brought it up once and she was like, wait, I agree. And I was like, what? And then we talked for like 20 minutes. I was like, I can't tell you how much I needed this. Like,
yeah.
So good.
Wait, I'm shocked that the other boys don't watch The Boys.
Right.
That's interesting. Emma, this has been so much fun. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. I think that everyone's going to love to hear from you and hear some of these fun stories, and also just get to know the icon even better.
Please. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was a blast and a half, and I look forward to us talking about the season finale of The Boys very soon.
Trust, we will. Now, where can everyone find you and follow you?
Everyone can find me at Emma Pittman Official. I have a Instagram, I have a TikTok, and I also have a YouTube that you can subscribe to if you're interested in my life.
Yes. And you'll see the dressing room that Emma's been sitting in today. It's cute. While everyone's following Emma, they've got to follow us. We're at the Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Emma. Have a wonderful weekend and we will chat with you soon.
Sounds great.
All right. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.